Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It's yet another edition of the Next Fan Up podcast. I am Pod Vader. Today, we're starting our division previews, and we start with the AFC North, the division that these guys think might be the best in football. I think that's arguable. I think there's a division on the West Coast that might lay claim to that title, but we'll see. Over the course of this next month, we'll be providing you with division previews of all the divisions in the NFL. We just happen to start with the AFC North. If you want to make sure you don't miss any of our division previews, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, or you can download and subscribe to us on the AHA Radio app if iTunes isn't one that works for you. We're also available on Stitcher and TuneIn and a multitude of places wherever fine podcasts are heard. Go get Next Fan Up. If you have a bone to pick with us over these division previews, send your emails, nextfanup@gmail.com. We certainly want to hear from you, and we'll definitely be bringing your comments and your suggestions to us over the course of the next couple of months. Also, we're on Twitter, @NFU Podcast. You can find us on Facebook. That's where all of our podcasts are posted. We also do special events on our Facebook page, such as the greatest players of all time. We have our lists, the top 10 players of every single team, listed on our Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/NFU Podcast. Of course, you can just search Next Fan Up in the search bar on Facebook. The page will pop right up. All right, without any further ado, I will give you the super fans of the AFC North.
That's right. Hello and welcome to the Next Fan Up podcast. We are the podcast by the fans and for the fans. The City Chiefs super fan, Nick, but I'm not going to be talking about my team this week, and I'm sure most of you get tired of me talking about my team and the other times, but no, this time we're going to be talking about a different AFC division. We're going to be breaking down the AFC North. Is the first part of our continuing series of previewing the divisions and also going through our all division teams. We talked amongst ourselves as super fans. We debated, argued through things, and came up with. It's going to be interesting to see where some of the disagreements are here. But I am joined by two of our AFC North super fans. I'm joined by Steelers Greg, and how are you doing, Greg?
Doing great. Getting in trouble on a Saturday with my wife, not fixing my plumbing, outdoor plumbing issue, and talking to you guys. So, doing okay.
Well, I hear indoor plumbing is really better anyway.
Yeah, unless you spent a couple $100 on flowers, so then you're pretty much screwed.
Yeah. And then we also have, joining in from across the pond, it is English-Australian, not Scottish Simon. How's it going, Simon?
It's going good, Nick. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good. Simon is our Cincinnati Bengals super fan, one of our super fans we have on the British Isles. So this is a international show once again. We are going to be talking about some very good wide receivers backs as well as we get into this all AFC North division team. And so you guys were fighting about this, and I'm interested to know where some of the biggest disagreements are, but let's just run through the offense real quick here. You guys apparently agree that Ben Roethlisberger is the best quarterback in the division. In the two running back slots, we have Le'Veon Bell and Gio Bernard. At the two wide receiver spots, we have A.J. Green and Antonio Brown. Best tight end in the division is Tyler Eifert. And the offensive line is left tackle Joe Thomas, left guard David DeCastro, center Marquise Pouncey, right guard Marshall Yanda, and right tackle Andrew Whitworth. And so if my eyes are not deceiving me, the only Baltimore offensive player that made it onto this list is Marshall Yanda.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they don't have a running back that's a star receiving corps in flux. I was just doing some research on them pre-show, and it's amazing how many skill position players they have. I mean, just a tight end. They have Max Williams. They have the guy Daniel Graham. Is it Daniel Graham from New Orleans? And then they also have two other tight ends. They still have Dennis Pitta. I mean, they just have so much tech who's going to make their final roster. So I think Yanda is a slam dunk, of course. I think he's an all-pro. But I don't know who else you could really pull from Baltimore to make it.
I guess, and we didn't pick fullbacks, but a fullback maybe. But no, I think the only guy that I, when we're going for his list, that I thought we could add to the list would be if we had three receivers and Steve Smith might get another year there. But you're right, the team is built by, you know, very much a tight end line deal. It's hard. They were pretty ordinary in offense last year, and it's hard to think that Flacco coming back off that knee injury, they're going to be any better. Mike Wallace, what have we got there? You don't really know. And I do think Max Williams will have a good breakout sophomore year, but apart from that, you know, the weapons and the sort of yards from, really.
Position, in terms of just looking at the old division team that I find really interesting here, is running back. I mean, Le'Veon Bell, there's no question of the kind of back that he is when he's healthy. But I found it interesting that you guys went with Gio Bernard as the number two, considering that that was one of the most perplexing things to me about the Bengals last year, is how little at times Gio got used. Hill, I think, got the most touches, the most, I mean, every statistical category beat out Gio. Why do you think that is, and what made you want to push him up here to the all-division team, Simon?
If I'm honest, it was Greg who pushed for Gio Bernard more than anybody in the division. I think he kind of felt the team would be that a pass-catching running back would be a good compliment to Le'Veon Bell, who, if we're honest, probably wouldn't get off the field. And back to your original question, though, I think about the usage. He caught over Sensor, who was a huge kind of contributor in the passing game on third downs, and got, and as always, as he is, was big in the big primetime games. So I think we struggled to run block last year, and that's why Jeremy Hill had a poor year, but he also just took a step back and was very nervous. And Gio is just a great compliment to us. We were last year. I think next year, I'd be interested to see that balance, but people talking about losing Marvin Jones, Mo Sanu, who's going to replace him? Well, Giovanni Bernard catching 70 balls, you know, that is a big area where you say, well, you can hang your hat on that guy. And I think it's the reason why he's back up to a player who in Le'Veon Bell was a three-down back and one of the best in the league. So I think that was the main reason why we picked him, really.
Yeah, and I think I really pushed for Gio because I think he hit off the second-best runner in the division. I love the option for him to catch the ball out of the backfield, but he also proved earlier in his career that he can convert in the red zone. And if anything, Hill has hurt his value a lot by taking away the goal line care tackles runs. But I think Gio is, you know, without question, a lot more effective. I know they were slow to transition back to him last year, but he was a real threat. And every time I watched him play, I mean, I thought he was maybe even the second best player on that offense behind AJ Green. I just have a lot of respect for Gio.
Interesting. So what was, and just looking at the offense here, what was the most difficult position for you guys to agree on? Like where was there a little bit more discussion?
I honestly don't remember too much. Yeah. I don't remember.
It was so
much,
quick. So.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, but we did agree pretty much every way. I mean, you look at this, the offensive line, for example, and I think the one area maybe that I argued, I don't think Witt's a right tackle because he's left-handed. Then you can't argue Joe Thomas isn't the best left tackle. So it's like, where do you fit them all to be? And just this line would be incredible if Marquise Pouncey was healthy. And, you know, getting Mike Munchak to coach it up, it'd be really, really good. And I think we didn't have really that much debate across the board, really, if you can believe it, eh?
Well, it is an interesting division in terms of where I think each one has its strengths and its weaknesses, and it's pretty obvious. I mean, like, for instance, I don't think there can be any real dispute that Tyler Eifert's the best tight end of the division. There's just nobody even close. And it's also not a surprise that there are no Cleveland Browns in this offense. But moving on to the defense, at the two defensive tackle spots, the starters of the AFC North team are Brandon Williams and Geno Atkins. Your edge rusher position is Carlos Dunlap. Your defensive end is Cam Hayward. At the two outside linebacker positions, you have Paul Kruger and Vontaze Burfict. At the inside linebacker spot, C.J. Mosley and Ryan Shazier. And with the three cornerbacks, we have Joe Haley-Gay. And at the safeties, it's George Iloka and Mike Mitchell. So we're finally getting at least, you know, some token Browns in here. In terms of the it's an interesting division for defenses, because the Steelers defense started off last year just as absolute garbage, and they had been for a couple of seasons, but they actually seemed to tighten up quite a bit towards the end of the year. How would you guys rank the defenses in the division overall?
I don't see how you don't have Cincinnati's defense as the top defense of the division. I think they have the most talent on it. And with Baltimore and Pittsburgh, a lot of the edge rushers, Pittsburgh and Baltimore's edge rushers are both so old. I think Cincinnati not only stops to run well, but can also get pressure on the quarterback the best. And it's like their safety, George there. They have the most talent on defense. And I think they also are very well coached.
A Steelers fan, I guess, but we don't give up points. I think that's one thing. We're disciplined and we play, do our responsibilities really, really well. I think as we'll get through all of the team, all the divisions kind of teams, the defense is the hardest, because I think all of the teams that the Bengals play 4-3, the others all play 3-4, I think. So it's always hard to kind of put us together in this team, but then who would you have? But I think we're probably, I don't know, probably trying to make some sort of combination of pressure in the middle here with Williams, Atkins, and Haywood in particular. And then kind of the back end's probably a little bit weak. Greg, would you agree maybe? I'm not sure, but kind of feel like...
I think other than the Bengals in the back end, I think the division's kind of weak. I'm not impressed with Joe Hayden much at all. And Willie Gay is a nice slot corner, but he wouldn't make any other division's list.
So would you both put the Steelers' defense as the worst in the division still?
No. The Browns are the worst defense in the division, because they're the worst team in the division as well. I think this flash and make plays, like Willie Gay, always seems to pick six against the Bengals, so that's kind of one thing. I think they've got a strong spine, I'd say, you know, in Shazier. Timmons had an off year, I felt, but still has been a good player. And Haywood as well. So I think they've got pieces there. It'd be interesting to see if Stephon Tuitt can stand by his imagination. You don't really know about the Ravens because of the injuries, but they'll still be well coached and still be disciplined. Whereas the Browns, if you were to pick the 11 starters today, you could put four, maybe. I don't know if you agree, Greg, but I think they're the worst defense in the division.
Yeah, I think... Basically, the only places the Browns made the all-division team is where the division is weak already. Like, Paul Kruger is really like an edge outside linebacker. And really, it's just a vacuum of talent at those two spots from the Steelers and the Ravens that allowed them to slide in there. So, yeah, the Browns are a distant fourth.
It seems like they're a distant fourth in just about everything in this division. But moving on to the teams specifically, and let's go ahead and just start with the Browns, because we can just get them out of the way, because when we start talking about the playoffs and things like that, I don't think anybody's expecting them to get any, to really even be sniffing 500 this year, which is unfortunate for Browns fans, because they've had quite a rough go of it since going back to Cleveland. But what can we really expect from this team this year? They obviously, it's with all the draft picks and everything, they're building for the future, but their quarterback situation is weird, and they have far more wide receivers than they have roster spots. I mean, it's a project that is at such raw stages right now. It's difficult to make anything out of it. But you guys are in the division, so you guys are watching them a little bit closer. Simon, what are you expecting out of the Browns, and how do you expect this team to look halfway through the season?
I think they'll be a team that is rugged, and trying to be as physical as they can be. And it's really hard to really picture what a Hugh Jackson team will look like. I did a bit of research, looked at the Ravens team, and they kind of 8-8, but they stumbled at the back end of the season. I think they'll compete in more games. I think they'll be quite difficult to beat in the division games. I think that'll be a work in progress, because they're going to have so many rookies on the team. They've got pieces that they can build around, but they've got too many, I believe, too many new players to kind of gel instantly and make a difference, especially in this division where is they're playing the game. So that is my view. I don't know, Greg, if you agree with that.
No, I totally agree. I think they've waved the white flag already, kind of like the CBA. I mean, when they didn't re-sign Mitchell Schwartz and let them go to your Chiefs, Nick, I mean, that was a clear sign to everyone that they were playing for 2017. Their offensive line went from being the strength of the team to losing two Pro Bowl players off of it, and they have no one to replace them with. It's a mess, and I actually feel bad for the Browns fans because I can't believe the ownership group is going to ask them to pay money to attend the games. I mean, they obviously don't want to win.
Well, but what is weird about your division is that despite, you know, you'll have teams that are on the upswing and the downswing constantly, but all those division games, they always tend to be interesting. The Browns win a few. It's in some random hard-fought games against, you know, the Steelers or the Bengals or one of the top division teams because, you know, the Browns make it their Super Bowl and they'll fight hard. But, I mean, do you think that they have a few of those in them this year, Greg?
They absolutely will. They'll get one. They'll get one of the three teams. They'll get 1-5 in the division. But they, I mean, that will probably be their only way to go 2-14. It's exactly what you're saying. They put so much more emphasis on beating the rest of the division than I think any of the other division teams really care. Yeah, they'll go 1-5 in the division. They'll win somehow, some way. You know, I don't know why, but they will.
Yeah, I'm almost certain that the one game they'll win will be against the Bengals, and the reason for that being that Hugh knows the team pretty well, and I think the Bengals may struggle this year because of the lack of, not a lack, but a kind of lesser kind of quality level of weapon on the offense. And we'll see, but I think that the timing of those games as well are a little bit closer to the win set, and therefore makes it a little bit more difficult for Dalton when he can struggle in those games. He was pretty good. Yeah, you get a feeling that'll be a big game for Hugh, and he'll make a big deal of it to the players, given it's the battle of Ohio as well. So I can't see how a team can be more than a 4-win team.
Well, then moving on to another team that had I believe 15 season and the Baltimore Ravens. Unfortunately, we couldn't be joined by Ravens Rex, once known as the king of the superfans, a Game of Thrones of the superfans at some point too. But looking at Baltimore, obviously they were just injuries more than I think probably any other team in the league. I mean, maybe the Chargers could compete with them for that title. But I think especially with losing Joe Flacco late in the season and just everything. I mean, the Baltimore Ravens were just wiped out with injuries last year. And so it's really difficult a starting healthy Baltimore team would look like, how well they would play last year in all of those circumstances. They've also added a few things like Mark Wallace. I mean, he is another speedster. He's another field stretcher that Joe Flacco is probably better suited as than just about any other quarterback in the league. And, you know, they have another year of seemingly pretty good drafting under their belt. What can we expect from the Baltimore this year? I mean, is it going to be a 5-win swing in terms of their final total, or are they too difficult to climb back into the real contention here, Greg?
Their floor, I think, is going to be 8 wins this year. I have too much respect for Harbaugh to not think they're going to play this year. They, in week 16 last year, despite all the injuries, they still beat the Steelers by knocking them out of the playoffs. If it wasn't for Ryan Fitzpatrick. But I think the Ravens are going to win 8 games because they're just always going to execute on their own offense. They're going to play everyone in the division really tough.
I think a couple of things. I think they always play teams tough, and they lost games, like 8 games by like 8 or less points, which is, you know, really close. You get all those players back, should make a difference. I think they've still got pieces that they can that play well. They still need to develop. But yeah, they'll be better. Joe Flacco's injury concerns you, but I think also people, if you look ahead to 2016 season, we play the AFC East and the Eagles aren't as strong as the teams we played last year. I think that will give them a step up as well when they play that and a third place schedule. So they're always going to be in the mix. I think they could be a 10-win team, they could be 8-win team, as Greg mentioned, but they're one team that you always kind of worry about playing and always kind of think that you've got to give it an extra bit of effort because they're always going to be ready to play. And John Harbaugh, as Greg also alluded to, is a guy that you respect because his teams are always ready to play, even if he can be cheesy from time to time.
Well, and they'll have good special teams. We know that much. So yeah, exactly. I want to move on to Greg, your team. The Steelers were the team that made it the furthest last year, really, you know, challenged for a possible Super Bowl appearance. And it seems like by most accounts are expected to be in contention again. Do you think this is the year they get back into the championship?
I think this is their best chance. I've said for a couple of years now, I think they had a 3-year window to win the Super Bowl. And this is the third year of that 3-year window. I think the defense showed vast improvement throughout the season. And I think they're going to be starting guys that aren't as raw that from last season. I mean, heck, last year with missing Antonio Brown and our top two running backs, we were 4 minutes from going to the AFC Championship game. And we lost to the eventual Super Bowl champion. So, Steelers are right there. They were last year, missing Roethlisberger for 4 or 5 games, missing Bell for 10 games. If those things are corrected, they'll have a much better chance. And I think, you know, if I had a take, I don't know, I'm pretty high on the Steelers as always, but if they don't do it this year, they're not going to do it. This is their one shot, and I think they're going to do it.
And so you say that they, you know, this is the last year, and just in terms of so many players that are getting over the hump and are probably going to be out of the league next year, is that it?
Contracts, older players. This is James Harrison's last rodeo. Our second wide receiver and third wide receivers are in kind of flux. Like Marcus Whedon, there's no way they're going to be able to afford to pay him $8 million if that's what the price is next offseason to retain him. Who knows about the other wide receiver and Bryant? The natural, you know, attrition of the roster. Pouncey's starting to approach 30. I felt like it was a limited window. And also, Ben is now 34. He's at a very rear, a lot of injuries. And also, off the field, he had that motorcycle accident. I feel like he's going to fall off a cliff at some point. And if you told me it was next year, I wouldn't be shocked.
Interesting. Well, it would sound like things are setting it up for the Cincinnati Bengals to make a run and grab this division and take it for us, you know, a fairly long period of time if they can keep it together. Got a younger quarterback and some younger star this year, Simon. What are things looking like for the Cincinnati Bengals?
Yeah, it's a tricky one to really. Best thing about the Bengals, you know, the last 3-4 years, and this is where I think we differ from Pittsburgh, but also I think Pittsburgh beats us, is we're really even keeled. Like, we're even keeled. We're steady in a draft. You know that we're going to draft guys who are going to play on. You know that they're going to be around 10 wins, you know, on average. But I think we don't handle success well. So we come off the division win, we have to play the first well the year after. We're always a wild card team at best in the kind of Dalton era. So that is where I think this team will be, and I think it'll be between the Steelers and Ravens to win it if that holds true. Equally, I think from my perspective that we're a team that probably could do with being a little bit offensively this year. I think we were okay at times, and Dalton's injury curtailed the success there. But for me, I think that we'll be better than people think we're going to be, but maybe not as good as where we need to be to win the division or win the Super Bowl. But I think we're dark, and in this conference in particular.
I feel really bad for Dalton in terms of how his season ended last year, because he's a guy who's taken so much flack over the course of his career. And to finally put together a season, which especially started out, he was playing as good as any quarterback in the league. And to see, you know, him just miss his chance to keep team deep into the postseason. I mean, who knows if, you know, how much further the Bengals would have gone with a healthy Dalton. But you'd like to think that they would have, you know, gone a little bit further. The thing is, though, now is that now, you know, it's not going to be such a perfect team for him to take over. I mean, you guys have lost a few weapons. You don't have Hugh Jackson, who, you know, who Dalton really shined under. Which direction is this team moving? I mean, is it, you know, You think we're going to stay basically the same, or is this a team that is going to, you know, okay, healthy Dalton, we're going to ride this thing deep, or is there going to be a little bit of a...
It's a good question. Do you know what I really truly believe is that, you know, the podcast was about Bengals are probably the best defense in the division. I think the defense has got stronger. I think the reason for that, I think, is we've resigned pieces and we've added a few more bits to it as well. And if we had Dwight Freeney, as has been kind of mentioned, that would be a really nice boost because he'll add a little bit of oomph on third down. Where I think we'll take a step back is on offense. But that's based on the belief that losing Marvin Jones, Mostyn and Hugh Jackson is a big deal. What I do believe is I think Marvin Jones will be lost, but Brandon LaFell, I don't really know what you've got there. If he's like he was in the Super Bowl Patriots this year, then that's Tyler Boyd, and I know Greg's a Tyler Boyd fan. If he can come in a slot and catch 50 balls and be kind of what Mostyn was, then we can keep going. The concern, I believe, is with Tyler Eifert's injury and the ankle surgery, and he could miss a few games, but I, again, hopeful that can come off. And you hope that the offensive line is better again for another year together, but still, I think the Hugh Jackson thing's overblown and people making him seem like he was the sole reason for Dalton's growth. I think Dalton takes a lot of, you know, credit for that. He was very good at taking leadership of this team and really making it his own. And you get a sense that this year he's taking it to another level. And I also believe that when he went out in the Steelers game, like, he moved the ball really well in the Steelers. And I don't think that he doesn't feel like he could go toe-to-toe with Ben, and that's good from my perspective. And I believe that Hugh Jack's first year was really poor, and that's because we had no weapons. So I think, like all these great offensive minds, if you don't have the weapons, then you can't really be as good. And I think you'll see that in Cleveland this year with Hugh and his five new rookie receivers. And just for me, I think if Dalton can continue to be a leader and be consistent like he's been, we can still be a 10-win team. And I think, I don't know if Greg agrees, but that's something that I feel is probably where we will be.
I think the best thing that could have to Andy Dalton last year was the Bengals not winning that playoff game. And it's not because I'm a Steeler fan, I feel that way. I felt like if he won that, or if the backup won the playoff game, that he'd be pushed harder this year for his position unfairly. Because I think Dalton really maybe turned a corner last year. And, you know, without doubt, I think that if Dalton's the quarterback, it was just how that game went. But Dalton now doesn't have to put up the criticism or, you know, the pressure from the fan base of having a competition since they did not win without him. Because I could just see that being, you know, the nail in the coffin for Dalton's career, that he didn't win a playoff game with the backup dead and the fans. So I really do think they're going to win 10 games going away, and if not more. I mean, they could be in the Super Bowl this year.
Focus has come up with their first set of predictions and projections for the AFC in this season, and they have the Steelers as their number one team in the AFC. They project them to go 13-3. They have the Bengals going 11-5. They have the Ravens going 8-8, and to go all the way to the bottom here, and it's the Cleveland Browns going 4-12. What sounds right and what sounds wrong about that to you, Simon?
All sounds like it could happen. You know, I think the Steelers thing is injuries and just getting rid of those games that they lose. They lose a random game or two every year, and it must be mad as a Steelers fan in the Tomlin era, Tampa Bay. Why are we losing to Ravens with Ryan Mallett at quarterback? You know, it seems to be that way every year. So if they can cut out those games and win more of the bigger games than they did last year, you know, thinking New England this year they had to play, that's going to determine their success. Like, we beat them in Pittsburgh, and I think it would have been good to see what happened if we'd been in Cincy, because I think we stopped you guys in offense pretty well in that game. It's just those turnovers and the interceptions that cost us in that game. So I think Steelers are their biggest rivals themselves. They seem to be getting a lot of fights themselves. You know, I know people talk about the perfects and all those things, but even in the offseason, you're hearing a lot of talk from the team about the Bengals. And the Bengals aren't even focusing on the Steelers, they're focusing on the Bengals. And that to me, I think they're their own worst nightmare, potentially. Baltimore, they'll just be thereabouts. They could be 10 wins, they could be 8 wins. I think they'll be thereabouts. And Cleveland, like, who's their quarterback? If it's Griffin III, like, do you trust that in a West Coast system? I don't. And if it's Cody Kessler, the guy's a rookie and was a third-round pick and not, you know, not sure he's suited to the division anyway. So we'll see. But I don't know if any of those predictions completely alarm me, but I just think each team has to be careful about themselves, really, about how they develop next year.
These rankings look really good to me. I mean, the Bengals, 11 wins, absolutely. Steelers, 13, that seems a little high just because of the random games they do lose, like Simon says. And this whole Antonio Brown Dancing with the Stars thing has me concerned because I'm just worried about his focus coming this year. But that being said, between the three teams in the division, the Ravens, Bengals, and Steelers, I honestly do feel like there is a 51% chance that the Super Bowl champion is coming out of the AFC North this year. And I also feel like there's a 51% chance the first overall pick is coming out of the AFC North this year with the Browns. So, about right to me.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, that was my first reaction about, you know, seeing the Steelers on top as well. I mean, you guys have already mentioned it, but I mean, I have no problem. I mean, I could see definitely the case that the Steelers are the best team in the conference, but they're not going to have the best record in the conference. I mean, that's just never the Steelers' way. Plus, I mean, not only do they have the weird games they drop, but then you have Mike Tomlin's going to make some weird decisions or something that's going to hurt them in some game. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, the Steelers are I think, more of a postseason team than a regular season team. And that's just always the way it's been.
I also think when that, on the best record thing, sorry, Nick, I think is that our division's so tough that you're going to swap games from time to time. Like New England, they're thereabouts, and Denver the same last year to a degree. Like they're going to like walk away their division, and that's the way it ends up at the end of the season. Like how you do against your division. Our division's always so tight, so that's what makes those, like our division, like for us to win 12 games last year was a big deal because that's quite a lot in our division these days, and that is a huge thing when you think about the end of the six teams in the playoffs in the AFC North, but usually the third team, or you know, it's rare that they get that first round bye. So it's just difficult to win enough games in our division.
Yeah, so I mean, overall, I'm a bit higher on the Ravens than PFF is here. I mean, I think the Ravens will be a winning team. They'll be above 500 in my opinion, but we will see. I do think that their overall rankings of the division are correct. I think it's going to be Steelers, Bengals, Ravens, and then the Browns, you know, chewing on the carpet somewhere on the bottom. Do you guys agree? Is that your guys' rankings as well?
I agree. I don't know if Greg agrees at this point, but primarily because I think that the game between us at Pittsburgh is week two, and I think we'll come off that. That'll be our second road game in a row, and I think they might win that and then keep the momentum and build that way, whereas I think we'll just be thereabouts all season. So I think, yeah, the Steelers are probably our favourites because we don't handle being division champs very well. And I mean that by we don't win the games against the others. But yeah, I think I agree with it. I think it's about right. But it could go either way in the sort of top two.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Well, are there any parting shots before we draw this division preview to a close?
No, because Greg is the nicest. Not only is he the nicest Steelers fan you'll ever meet, he's just one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. So he never gives, he'll never like, he's first else's. And like, the only thing that cracks about Steelers at the moment is they keep whining about like, one says perfect. It's just like, just last year. Like, you know what I mean? It didn't cost you, it's not the reason you lost to Denver is because he hit Antonio Brown. The reason you lost to Denver is because you didn't make enough plays. You know what I mean? You've got enough talent. You've got Ben Roethlisberger at quarterback still. It's like, not the reason you didn't lose. In the same way that we shouldn't blame fucking out Giovanni Bernard. I don't. That's just the way the game is. And yeah, it's going to be a great season again. I love being in this division. It's always tight and tense. And I would love nothing more than to beat Pittsburgh twice. That's my only parting shot, I guess.
Yeah, my only parting shot is that it's a shame that we started with the best division first and that the rest of the divisions are kind of irrelevant this year. So, I mean, you guys can probably skip the next seven episodes, just download them. But
yeah,
that's a great strategy for keeping our listeners engaged. Thank you, Greg.
I have to speak the truth. I don't know.
Well, I, you know, we don't have to start this conversation now, but I have a feeling the AFC West, my division, is going to be another really good one this year, and one that's going to be really challenging for that mantle of best. But we're not there yet. We're going to be getting to the AFC West and all the other divisions coming up in the coming weeks. All right, so we are now joined by our Texans superfan, James, because he has a particularly special take on this division. He's looking at this from the perspective of a king in the Seven Kingdoms, or perhaps a pirate off the coast of Pike, or perhaps a dragon-riding lady of some kind. He is going to give us the game of, I guess, metaphors for each of these teams. What you got for us here, James?
All right. Well, I mean, I know that the season is ramped up here for Game of Thrones. We're looking for a little bit of off-season content. So here is basically which character best corresponds to their particular team. Now, with the situation like this, it's a lot like the SATs. There may be multiple right answers, but there are definitely some wrong answers. For example, Cleveland here, you're never going to be Robb Stark. You may want to be that, but that's definitely a wrong answer. Now, you can quibble with, you know, who is who, and, you know, there's multiple right answers for other teams. But we'll just kick this off alphabetically. We'll go with Baltimore, and we'll probably be a more controversial pick. I actually have Jon Snow for Baltimore. And for that reason, it seems to me that he makes all the right moves behind the scenes. He's had some success and is liked by pretty much everyone. But at the same time, he could be exceedingly whiny. And, you know, we know how the Harbaugh brothers, one's now back in college, but they like to whine about how people aren't wearing the right jerseys or how they aren't checking in properly. So Jon Snow, I feel, fits pretty well for Baltimore.
There's a lot of different directions here. Like with Baltimore, do you also think that the Ravens were murdered last year for doing the right thing and are now going to return to life and conquer?
That's certainly a possibility definitely a good angle. I don't know exactly what vow they would have forsworn, but that's a very good angle on it.
I like that take.
Yeah, I honestly am thinking, but I can't think of much of a better one. So you may move on, unless Simon, being that he knows about these things because he has the right accent. Do you have any idea of what sort of fantasy person the Ravens would be?
Yeah, I don't watch Game of Thrones. Please don't hate me, NFL world. But as I understand it, has a Yorkshire accent, which Yorkshire people are quite, you know, what's we're looking for? You know, straight to the point, tough people. You know, and that, to me, sounds like a Baltimore Raven, albeit can have negative successes from time to time. So, it sounds like it could be true. So, let's go with Jon Snow.
All right. Let's keep him rolling.
All right. For Cincinnati, I went with Stannis Baratheon. So, he feels he has this claim to the throne. He keeps telling everybody he's the rightful heir to this, you know, the throne, the division title, whatever you want to call it. But it's not going to happen, guys. He has some good regular season success, but then when the battles actually matter, whether it's the Battle of Blackwater or whether it's the battle to kind of retake Winterfell, he definitely falls short. And he's put a lot of his faith in the Lord of Light, who is, you know, dark magic, definitely represented by the color red. And what better representation of dark magic with red than would be a ginger quarterback in Andy Dalton?
Well, it's actually because of that ginger quarterback that I was thinking, you know, I think this is a very good one too, but I was thinking, you know, I think the Bengals, you know, they're led by a guy with a mane of beautiful red hair. They play dirty. They fight a little dirty. They might be cannibals. And ultimately, you know, I don't know. That's as far as I got with that. Go ahead, Greg.
I do like the Stannis one. I like the Stannis one a lot because they are trying to do the right thing. They probably are entitled to a division title here, and maybe, but they have a flaw that holds them back. So it's pretty good comparison.
Yeah, yeah. Whoa. Is that flaw dirty Steelers play? I imagine that's the reason why they're not. He's not on the throne. There's some dirty Steelers whining about everything. And just, yeah, causing issues. Is this nephew that you talk about that I think is on the throne, is he like a whiny upstart? Is that the way it works? Because that sounds like a Pittsburgh Steeler to me. He's got nothing. He's got nothing of people. Yeah. And also, just to add to this, we don't proclaim to what we're on the throne, by the way. We have worked hard for our success. We deserve to be division champions. I think this Stannis guy sounds like he's a bit, maybe a little bit, not enough Bengal for me, this guy, if I'm honest. I don't know who he is. Not enough Bengal for me.
Fair enough. So, you know, it seems like Simon here believes that the Pittsburgh Steelers are Joffrey Baratheon. Is that where you went with it, James?
Joffrey is going to have to make an appearance in a later episode. He is a much better fit a little bit later. For Pittsburgh, we went with Jochen Hagar, and he is the assassin. And the reason that I picked him is, how is Pittsburgh going to beat you? Just look at him last year. They could do it on the ground game. They could do it through the air. They could do it with their quarterback. At times, they could even do it with their defense. And they did it with their backup quarterback. They did it with a third-string running back. And just like Jochen Hagar, I mean, he's a faceless man. This whole offense, it just keeps clicking no matter who's back there. It's a faceless team. Who cares how they're going to beat you? You just kind of know that in the end they're going to win.
James, I love this one. This one is perfect, in my opinion. I love the faceless man. I love his whole storyline. He doesn't give a crap about how it gets done or who is right, who's wrong. Just about killing people and getting his objectives and being who he is. And I just love that. He doesn't worry about the haters.
I don't watch the show, right? Just for the record. But it sounds that the Pittsburgh do care how they get done. Pittsburgh do care about getting the attention these days. That is the Pittsburgh Steelers of the 1970s. This new team are all show ponies and big egos. They're not a faceless team. They're Big Ben and Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, and that is it. The defense is rubbish, and yeah, that's it. I'm sure it's right to the people who watch the show, but to me, Pittsburgh, not for me.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, in the earlier season, Simon, when Jochen Hagar is introduced, he does get tricked by a little girl, so maybe there's a little bit of a redemption, a redeeming quality.
That's
in
Tim Tebow
for you there.
I was just going to say, I don't think that we're going to have much disagreement over this one.
So there were several options for Cleveland. Ultimately, though, I had to go with Reek. And this is not anything to do with Theon Greyjoy. So for me, Theon Greyjoy is actually split into like three separate characters. There's early Theon, there's Reek, and then there's later Theon. Cleveland is just he's been slowly and completely destroyed piece by piece. Yet now is held captive by that constant cycle of destruction. He's completely unrecognizable and somewhat pitiable, but doesn't have it in himself to rise above when given the opportunity. So, you know, and if it helps at all, Cleveland's got the dog pound, and Reek was sentenced to sleep with the dogs. So I can't really think of a better parallel there.
Yeah, it is awesome. Guys like the Cleveland front offense this offseason castrated its own team, just like Ramsey castrated Reek. This could not be a better fit. This might be the best one of all 32 teams.
Yeah, and just like Reek, we're not going to have any pushback from it because just like the spirit of Reek, the Brown superfan is not here to defend himself.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. We'll get the other 28, and didn't want to tease the Joffrey one, but he'll be coming up. Don't worry about that.
Good stuff, man. I look forward to it. And the rest of you out there, if you have a particularly favorite Game of Thrones character, and if you watch the show, I'm sure you do, you're going to have to keep tuning in because we're going to keep on revealing the George R. R. Martin NFL and the new landscape. It's like the intro. Every week we're going to reveal possibly a new little city somewhere. So keep tuning in. Great stuff, James. Thanks a lot.
So that was the superfans' vision of what their division was. Do you agree? I have a feeling some of you may not. Send us those emails, nextfanup@gmail.com. Now, as you all know, or may know, I go through the schedule, and I literally do a way-too-early win-loss prediction for every single game in the NFL this season. And that is what brings me to my division predictions. And as I look at this particular division, there's one team that I think stands out from the rest. And that team is in Pittsburgh. I see Pittsburgh finishing this season with a 13-3 record, losing only once to Baltimore,
once to Dallas and another time to Kansas City. So that's how I see the Steelers season going. The Bengals, they had a great season last year, but I think they're going to fall back. I think they lose a little too much at the wide receiver position, and Tyler Eifert, I don't know if they can put it all on his shoulders. I see them falling back to a 10-6 record. Might be good enough to make the playoffs, but we're going to have to wait and see on that. The Ravens, I see them improving a little, but not quite enough to compete yet. I've got them at an 8-8 record. And the Browns, well, I was kind. I could have easily gone with an 0-16 record for the Browns. But I do see them pulling off two wins at the end of their season. One against Buffalo and one against San Diego. San Diego going on the road, coming east. Not a good sign for them. Plus, I don't think the Chargers are going to be that good this year. So that is my thoughts on the AFC North. We want yours at NFU Podcast on Twitter. Go to our Facebook page. This podcast will be posted there. Put your comments on our Facebook page. Or, of course, subscribe on iTunes. You can leave us a review there as well. We would love to hear from you. NextFanUp@gmail.com is the email address. We'll have more division previews all through the month of June, right into July, as we get ready for the upcoming NFL season. I'm Pod Vader. As always, I leave you with Jeff Fisher. There you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, this game is four quarters long.